Some people cannot believe that a magician can fool them in such a way that they can't figure it out. But magicians can, and magicians do. Swindlers do, con men do all the time. They're not magicians. They're fakes. They're lying to us. They're deceiving us. It's okay to fool people as long as you're doing that to teach them a lesson which will better their knowledge of how the real world works. No matter how smart or well-educated you are, you can be deceived.
Storyville. Exposed. Magicians, psychics, and frauds. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, July 2011. A grey-bearded man's sitting in a diner.
How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Can I bring you something to...
Coffee. Oh, yes, please. For me, coffee.
Coffee in a minute,
huh? Okay.
He swigs from a mug.
Well, my heart just started again. That's good. That was a good sign. See, I've always had my battle with the psychics, the so-called, and I use that word in quotations all the time, remember that. People who are stealing money from the public, cheating them and misinforming them, that's the kind of thing that I've been fighting all my life. Magicians are the most honest people in the world. They tell you they're going to fool you, and then they do it.
Wait a minute, I have to worship.
He bows to a revolving cake stand on the way out, a series of TV clips.
James Wren is the author of The Faith Healers and he's best known as an investigator of psychic and miraculous claims. Would you welcome, please, the amazing Randy.
Here he is, the amazing Randy.
Would you tell us who you are?
The amazing Randy. Ta-da!
I was born at a very early age in a log cabin to help my father build. By the time I was 7, I was 11. I grew up very fast. I am a magician. I always have been a magician.
A conjurer, prestidigitator, legerdemainist, liar, cheat, charlatan, and fake.
You're a master magician. Some people have said that you're about the greatest escape artist since Houdini.
Randy has a real deep natural affection for magic and this love of deception.
A good magician needs to be a little bit of a con man, I think. He needs to be sort of a criminal type, but not have enough guts to actually rob banks.
He loves magic. He's been his whole life as a performer, as a magician. So he really resents anyone applying the techniques of magic for any purpose other than entertainment, especially to convince people that there's something psychic going on here. He thinks that's an abomination.
Tonight on this stage, you are going to meet a man who claims he can move physical objects using only the powers of his mind.
A magician appears to turn a page without touching it.
Now, you have been touring our country debunking psychics, haven't you?
I have indeed. And I think that the solution is rather simple.
Now, what I have here is particles of a white plastic, which will rather conclusively show
that Mr. Heydrich is merely blowing on both the page and on the pencil.
James, ready.
The magician fails to repeat the trick.
Randy says the public is being fleeced via trickery. I am going to tell you what's happening, and more to the point, this is going to be a crusade to try and change the world.
If there is something to the paranormal, let's find out what it is, if anything. And on the other hand, let's not be taken in by the claptrap that is being offered us and at our expense. I just ingested 6.5 days worth of homeopathic sleeping pills. Why don't they affect me?
People say, well, what's the harm? Why do you care about this? And then I saw Randy's answer, which was bad ideas can cause you serious damage or death.
The psychic surgeons, they operate with their bare hands and profess to remove tumors, malignant tissue, without any marks at all.
And believe me, the gimmick is so simple, you can buy it for 75 cents in a magic shop. Now, what you're about to see is a barehanded operation.
His point isn't to tell you that something isn't true. His point is to widen your scope of vision so that you will question the things that happen in front of you.
Oh, no, that doesn't come up.
Some people think that he's very dogmatic.
It's always some tired person in a shack someplace in Idaho or Iowa, someplace like that, who gets picked up by extraterrestrials, and they have their genitals examined in great detail, and they can't wait to get on Oprah to describe
it. Gee, I bet you don't believe in the tooth fairy or Santa Claus either.
Well, I'm looking into Santa Claus.
He's a great storyteller, and like all good storytellers, well, there's probably some information and detail in there that may not be appearing in his version of events.
It is, I will say, interesting that a man who's devoted his whole life to using the tools of deception to uncover real deception has at the center of his life a deception.
And welcome to the Tell the Truth. Let's meet our next team of challenges.
Three figures in silhouette.
One of these three men pretended to be possessed by an ancient spirit. Number one, what is your name, please?
My name is Jose Alvarez.
Number two.
My name is Jose Alvarez.
Number three.
My name is Jose Alvarez.
Only one of these people is the real Jose Alvarez, and is the only one sworn to tell the truth.
Now using a stick, James Randi is walking with a younger, bespectacled man in a garden.
I first met Jose Alvarez in the Fort Lauderdale Public Library. I offered to explain something about one of the photographs he was looking at.
This is the actual flower here for the cactus.
Yeah.
The little ones. And look at this. If this,
yeah, this is fantastic. Look at that.
Yeah, we need to spread that around.
See, this is the one I cut for the...
We end up spending the whole afternoon talking about our mutual interests, about space exploration.
I remember we looked at books on telescopes, and I told him I had such a telescope at home, the Questar.
I went back to my friends and I said, I just met this extraordinary man and I would like to meet with him again.
We're able to go out at night with a tripod and see the moons of Jupiter and all kinds of good things like that, which is always very exciting to show somebody, certainly if it's for the first time.
I just got very excited and I said, I need to be with him more. When I first met Randi, I wasn't aware of who he was.
Okay, tomorrow, don't tell me about tomorrow.
And I was there when he won the MacArthur Award.
Gentlemen announced we're calling from the MacArthur Committee, and he told me that I'd won the prize. And I answered in my most intelligible way, adibi.
Then I got a real feel of the kind of impact that he was having culturally. And little by little, I started getting more and more involved in the investigation paranormal activities that Randi was doing. And then he asked me to play the character of a fake channeler in a project that we end up working together.
The Carlos hoax. But that doesn't even scratch the surface.
This woman is Jay-Z Knight. She's also the one they call Ramtha, a mystical male spirit, 35,000 years old, who claims to be divine.
Now you must understand that the so-called channelers were claiming that they could contact long-dead spirits. Now, not a few hundred years back. No, they're much more ambitious than that. Tens of thousands of years ago.
Indeed.
And they would speak in funny voices like this.
God bless you, Dr. Peepa.
All right, I'll say, how are you this day of your time as you create time to exist?
They're very popular. They gave talks huge prices for the seats.
There are often so many people, the Ramtha organization can earn up to $200,000 for a single appearance.
And you're my first 35,000-year-old guest.
It was such nonsense. I can't think of that technical term. Oh, yes, bullshit.
What she definitely is part of what's being called the New Age movement.
Lots of people believe this is something genuine because they see something on television and they think, my goodness, I mean, surely this journalist would have checked this stuff out.
Trauma from a past life sometimes seems to spill over into the present.
We are conditioned to believe that things that look like documentaries but are not factual must essentially be true or it wouldn't be presented as if it were factual.
Hello.
The Carlos hoax started
when
60 Minute Australia called Randi because they wanted to prove that channelers were a hoax. On that phone call, Randi told them that you couldn't prove that someone who said that they are inhabited by a spirit 40,000 years old is a false claim. What he said to them was, what we need to do is to create one.
His name is Carlos, and you've probably seen him on television or mentioned in the press. Carlos is involved in the mystical field of channeling.
Carlos, if you believe him, is a spiritual messenger who occupies the body of this 19-year-old Puerto Rican artist, Jose Alvarez.
the Carlos hoax was to show that the media would fall for most of these stunts if they sounded attractive enough, and they wouldn't really investigate too carefully. So one of the very first things we did to introduce Carlos to the public, we made up the press package that we presented to the Australian press.
What trash this is.
We even invented newspapers and magazines that never existed, theatrical magazines particularly, announcing the appearance of the great Carlos at such and such a theater that didn't exist. But no one in the media bothered to check up on one of these details. They could have picked up the phone and just checked, and they would have found out that they were being deceived. It didn't happen.
One man who's been making a name for himself here in the United States is now doing the same in Australia. Jose Luis Alvarez is a 19-year-old channeler.
By 60 hours after we had arrived, we had 8 major TV appearances, headlines in newspapers. Everyone in Australia pretty well knew that Carlos was there.
It will be astronomical in nature.
Frankly, I was just doing it without thinking. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Last Sunday, the Opera House Drama Theatre was packed with a near-capacity crowd of 500, there to listen to Carlos and to have their questions passed on to him by his disciples.
Crystals are fossils of long ago.
I know he's definitely psychic. It's something that I can feel coming from him.
I thought it was great. It was very sincere, I thought.
Do you believe him?
Yeah, I do.
The following Sunday, 16 Minutes Australia revealed the whole hoax.
He billed himself as a man of the supernatural, a man who could do amazing things, and thousands believed him, making him a celebrity. But it was all an elaborate hoax.
The most basic fact about Carlos was that he simply doesn't exist. That's the real teaching of Carlos. But this doesn't even scratch the surface of just what a phony Carlos is.
I am Carlos.
Though I had just a year or so before this Australian event actually met Jose Alvarez, I was very pleased at what it did for our relationship because it really cemented it pretty well. We decided after that that we sort of belonged together.
Randall James Hamilton Zwinger, born 1928, Toronto, Canada.
I recognized, I guess at a very early age, that my feelings were different from those around me. And it was pretty evident to me that was heavily frowned upon. I perhaps felt like a bit of an outsider. My father only really spoke to me twice in my whole life, calling me aside, sitting me down, and having a discussion. So we did that twice during my life. I was surprised both times. I was pretty well educated on my own. The local education system in Toronto, Canada, actually allowed me to stay out of grade school, only going in there to take the tests. I was free to wander around Toronto, and I found the Casino Theater on Queen Street. I saw the Great Blackstone advertised. I had never seen a magician before in my whole life. Harry Blackstone walked out on stage and did wonderful things that I had never dreamed could be done. He had this young lady walk out from the side of the stage and he cast her into a trance. And he said, "Princess Astra, rise." She floated up into the air. And I looked very carefully and I could not see any means whereby she could be suspended in the air and caused to move in the air. That was wonderful. I was transfixed. How could the man do such a thing? I determined at that moment I was going to become a professional magician. And so at 17, I decided I wouldn't graduate from high school. I left home and I joined the carnival. I never went home again.
Now, is it possible that I could have drawn anything on there? Do you want to take one more look? Take one more look. There's nothing in there whatsoever except a crushed piece of chalk, right? Now, before you open up the slates, what was the word that you looked at in the book? Would you mind telling us?
Mackerel.
I was doing, so-called mind-reading tricks and such, psychic tricks, so to speak.
It's been in your hands all this time, right?
I assume so.
All right, then. We'll open the slates and let's see what the spirits have brought us in the way of a message. Don't tell her how it was done.
When I introduced myself as a magician, I used to say to my audience, "Good evening. My name is the Great Randall. I'm a liar, a cheat, and a charlatan. I will blatantly lie to you, but for purposes of entertainment only, of course. And those lies may not be discernible from the truth.
Randy had this sense of trying to be bigger than life. And the easiest way to be bigger than yourself is to lie.
From a newspaper article, Mr. Swinger can read minds, or as he says, he possesses a combination of telepathic, clairvoyant, and prophetic senses. Mr. Swinger said he first became aware that he possessed extrasensory perception when he was 9 years old.
I was 21 years of age when I predicted the outcome of that year's World Series, and it was good for me. It moved me up a peg, but it also had some fallout. People would stop me in the street, literally, and start to ask personal questions, family questions and such, that they thought I could answer, and even offering me money to predict whether the husband that the girl had chosen was the right one. That was quite a comeuppance for me because I realized, you know, people really do believe this nonsense.
Mentalism can be a deal with the devil. It's an incredibly seductive feeling for someone to imbue you with that power. It's a very tempting thing.
Then you have to make a decision. Are you the sort of person that will look someone in the eye, and even though you have got no idea what their future holds, you're prepared to tell them something that isn't true, that may harm them, just to move money from their wallet into yours? You do not have that influence and power as a magician. You have it the moment you deny you're a magician.
I know that surge of power that you feel when you use a cheap trick to manipulate someone else into thinking you have powers that you don't have. And I think it's very much to the good of the world that when Randy felt that power, he backed away from it. And out of that feeling of that power came a rage.
Uri Geller. He denies he's a magician.
I want now to introduce Uri Geller. He's been denounced by some people as a magician, and certainly he's a showman. He gives demonstrations all over the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, Uri Geller.
He said his name was Uri Geller. The name didn't mean a thing to me. He's come to the attention of Stanford Research Institute, and the scientists there are apparently quite convinced that he has psychic powers.
What I do is telepathy, and that is, as everybody knows, is receiving thoughts and passing thoughts. And then I have the other power, which I read that they call psychokinesis, and that is moving or bending or breaking objects. It's cracking. I feel it under my fingers. See how gently it goes? It's like it's becoming like plastic.
It's broken.
And
In 1972, I got a call from Colonel Austin Kibler of the Defense Department, then acting head of ARPA, as it was called, Advanced Research Projects Agency. He says, could you drop everything you're doing and go to Stanford Research Institute? There's a psychic down here. And if he can do what they claim he can do, we ought to be involved, because the Russians have a big program now going, using what they call psywaff warfare.
This film describes a 5-week investigation conducted at Stanford Research Institute with Uri Geller, a young Israeli. Here we present a case of a double-blind experiment in which someone places an object into a can chosen at random from 10 aluminum cans. Geller's task now is to determine which of these 10 cans holds the steel ball bearing.
Now, Targan put off the two scientists who were in residence there at the time for quite a pair. First of all, Targ is legally blind, and he was one of the observers. Duh.
He has made his choice. The steel ball is found.
He fooled the pants off them. It was astonishing. They saw Nobel Prizes on the horizon, because if you discovered there really were psychic powers, that would certainly bring you a Nobel Prize or two.
In this case, Geller guessed that a 4 was showing, and he was quite pleased to have guessed correctly.
When I made my report to the government that Geller was complete fraud,
Targ and Puthoff realized they were not going to get the money from the government. So they took Geller on a tour to get the publicity for him and to raise some private money to do the research with him.
I've been reading a lot of research on him from the Stanford Research Institute and from the science section of the New York Times. A lot of publicity on this gentleman whose name is Uri, U-R-I, Uri Geller. And we hope we're going to see some rather astounding things tonight. Would you welcome, please, Uri Geller.
Johnny Carson was the man. Everybody watched that program on NBC. And since I had been on the program many, many times, they asked if I could come into California to appear on the show that night. And I said, boy, this is rather short notice. But I will talk to your prop man, and I'll tell the prop man how he can prepare the props in such a way that if it's real, Geller can do it. But if it's a fake, Geller won't be able to do it.
Are you feeling in the mood yet?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh. More questions?
All right, let's...
What's the capital of South Dakota? I don't mean to press you.
Let me see.
I said, okay. What I would like you to do with the little aluminum film cans, I would like you to coat them on the bottom with rubber cement. Don't glue them down to the tray. Just coat the bottoms and let them dry. When they're put on the tray, they won't skid then. I said, because the way he does the film can thing is he rotates the tray and he sees which ones move differently.
We start eliminating the ones that do not have the water.
Without touching them.
He is really suspicious, you know. I'm having a hard time with you.
I don't mean to be, right? I really don't.
Just keep looking.
Geller holds his palm over the cans.
Okay, let me rest a little, all right?
All right.
They actually shut down the set for 20 minutes or so while he hummed and hawed and wondered how he was going to do something. Then they came back to the live audience after a big, long commercial break.
Todd, we are back. Your Uri was telling me you don't feel, what, strong tonight?
I don't feel strong.
Geller had to give the whole thing up. It was a real failure for him, definite failure, because Carson's people had followed the instructions that I gave them.
Don't be disappointed. I'm not.
Okay.
We thought he didn't have a future. And we were very wrong. Very, very wrong. We didn't know how wrong we were.
Try to make a boy scout knot. Pretty heave on it now.
There we are.
That doesn't feel very tight. Put another knot on top of that, would you please? Just one more to make sure. I don't want it to fall off around my ankle.
Here we go.
What did I ever do to you? Why do you hate me so much? Now, I'm going to see if I can take this rope off. It may take me a while, but I'll see how fast I can do it. Would you time me, please? Do you have a watch there? Just look at your watch.
Yeah.
How about you? You got a watch? I have one. It took 2.5 seconds. I think I deserve a large round of applause for that.
One of Randy's great heroes is Harry Houdini. And the life of Harry Houdini reads very similar to the life of James Randi. Starting out as an amazing magician and escape artist, he was a great showman and debunker and dedicated his life to keeping people from being duped.
Well, the thought naturally occurred to me that I could base a good deal of my life on Harry Houdini and his adventures, perhaps do some of the things that he had done and perhaps even improve on them.
Open sesame, try that.
Open sesame.
Oh, wait a minute. What?
The amazing Randy bursts out of a locked safe.
I wanted to break his records. I wanted to stay in a sealed metal coffin longer than he did, get out of a straitjacket faster than he did, out of chains, out of leg irons and handcuffs. I said, if the man could make it, I could break it.
There was nothing he couldn't get out of, or make it at least seem like he was getting out of it.
The clock is still going. He has established a world's record.
In some cases, 200 feet of rope wrapped up in a chair on stage. You just hope that the theater doesn't catch fire because they're likely to leave you behind to fry.
On stage, Randy frees himself from his ties.
But it's when some of the things like hanging over Niagara Falls in a straitjacket at 20 below zero, that gets your attention.
The stunt breaks Houdini's record. Now, rock star Alice Cooper in concert.
'73 with Billion Dollar Babies, we said this whole album's about extravagance. So take it to the next level. Let's use illusion. If you're going to get your head cut off, it can be scary and funny at the same time, but it's got to be professional. So you go to the best guy, and Amazing Randy was the best guy.
A masked Randy plays the part of Alice's executioner on stage, lopping off his head with a guillotine.
I've never heard of Alice Cooper. I assumed it was a woman. You see, silly me. And I said, yeah, this might be fun.
He really starts to become a kind of a pop culture figure, all the way to Happy Days.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm the Amazing Randy.
Hey, the Amazing Randy.
My appearance on Happy Days really did a lot for my career.
Fonzie?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. You really saved the day.
Are you kidding?
Whoa.
Hey.
See ya. Yeah, hang in there.
This is show business. The showmanship. That's one respect in which I based a good deal of my efforts on what Houdini had done. He had done it by trial and error, and I benefited from his example.
This actually was invented more than half a century ago by the late, great Harry Houdini.
I was asked to do a show honoring Harry Houdini.
I'm going to immerse myself inside the can. My body will displace some of the water. The water will be filled right to the very top, and the lid will be locked on.
And I was going to do the milk can. Now, this is rehearsal, maybe 20 minutes before airtime. And I tried to perform the escape. I couldn't get out of the milk can. Something had jammed, and I heard a crackling noise. It turned out there was a couple of my vertebrae that had been chipped, and the pain was rather considerable, to say the least. I was in deep trouble. I knew that if I panicked, I'd be dead. Soldiers do it, so you don't panic. I had to let myself sink back into the water, and I was in a bit of trouble. Finally, I heard the noises that they were doing the padlocks. And I roared up out of the water, and there I was. I had been saved. It was a close call.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Amazing Randy.
I came back from the hospital, and I was introduced down near the end of the show on a stretcher.
I had just returned from the hospital, and they tell me that I have a double compression fracture of the vertebrae, and it's not something I recommend you undertake as a hobby.
It wasn't a great blow to me, and I was at the point where I thought that maybe it was time to get out of this business.
Randy probably could have kept doing it for a while. I remember him saying to me, you know, there comes a point you just don't want to see a little old guy getting out of a can.
I heard that this is going to be the last escape. You're through with it.
Yes, the last straitjacket escape, certainly. I may do some jail escapes and a few things like that, but I'm going to leave that stunt to the younger people.
Oh, yeah. How old are you?
I'm 55 now, and it's time to get out of that business.
I think it gave him the opportunity to focus full-time on what he regarded as the bigger, better targets.
Randy dangling by his feet from a rope suspended from a helicopter.
In the name of Jesus, everybody with a bone disease, everybody with a back infirmity, misplaced vertebrae, bring them right down over here to the side. Did you ever feel anything like this? It's like warm liquid fire flowing over this whole building.
Oh, God. Let her go. That's the power of the Holy Spirit.
During the 80s, the faith healing racket was very, very prominent. Literally all over the world.
Let his leg begin to grow, heal the disc. There it cometh, in the name of Jesus.
I did a lot of investigation. I visited a lot of these tent shows, as we called them, and we didn't see any evidence of healing taking place whatsoever. But I was particularly obsessed with Peter Popoff.
The Popoff Exposure. Hey, Petey, can you hear me? 1986.
You've got cancer of the stomach? Are you ready for God to burn that cancer out?
A man like Reverend Peter Popoff was a very dangerous man. My estimation, he was a real scoundrel,
Jesus,
because he was taking people's faith in their religion. He was taking away their security. In many cases, he was harming them physically because he was convincing them that they didn't have to go to doctors anymore, that Jesus had healed them.
If you've got pills as an act of faith, I want you just to throw them out the aisles. Those of you up in the balcony, just throw them over the side. Amen. Throw them over the side. Throw them over the side.
So you have Popoff, who's going around a congregation and just seemed to be able to hear the voice of God and know all about people, even their addresses. He would call it out. Everyone's impressed.
Is that John 3784, Archwood Road? God is burning those
blood clots out of his veins, out of his arteries. There it is.
So he was doing a mentalism act, it appeared, and we wondered how he got the information.
So Randy was coming to town, and he said, would you like to come see this evangelist by the name of Peter Popoff? And he's supposedly really well known, and he's going to be downtown, and he's going to be doing this whole revival thing, and thousands of people will be there. And I said, yeah, I'd love to come.
Is it Ruby Harris?
So I'm sitting there with Randy, and there's thousands of people.
Come on up here, Ruby. Here she comes.
They believe this man has a connection with their God, and he can actually heal them.
Now listen, I'm going to tell her what's wrong with her, but I'm not going to tell it out loud because it's confidential. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit's a gentleman?
And I realized at the moment, something big's going on here. This is a lot more than I thought it was.
That's going to burn them out right now. Here they go. Here they go. Right now, Jesus.
And I have to tell you, it was an absolutely amazing experience because the emotions that you feel when there are people up there who are in tears.
Jesus, oh, hallelujah.
It's shaking, and you've got this entire energy going throughout this room. It does something to you. Even as a skeptic, it truly does something to you.
Oh, hallelujah. Get up on your feet. Let's walk.
Well, yes.
Look at that. There he goes.
Popoff snaps the walking stick of a man he supposedly cured.
After a while, you know, I'm sitting there, and after some of the emotion had died down in me, Popoff said, I need people to come down to collect money for him. And basically, he had 15 buckets. And I'm supposed to go around the auditorium and collect cash.
God is touching that thyroid condition right now. And
these people were throwing like 5, 10s, 20s. Because one of the things Popoff always tells them, whatever you give, you will get back tenfold. So if you put a dollar in, hey, you're going to get 10 bucks. You put 100 bucks in, gonna get a lot more money back, and these people truly believe this.
Here it comes, complete healing in Jesus. You foul spirit of deafness, take your hands off this woman in Jesus' name. Lord, let these ears be open. There it is.
And as I get up close, I notice in his ear that there's an earpiece. There's no ear hole. It's a little piece of plastic in there, and I come back to Randy. I says, I think I know what's going on.
I said, what's up? He said, he's wearing a hearing aid in his left ear. Now, a man who heals the deaf, you wouldn't think would be wearing a hearing aid.
Well, how do I sound now?
Loud.
Loud.
At that point, I realized we needed some technical help, so I enlisted the aid of a private investigator named Alec Jason.
One day, Randy called me and suggested that Peter Popoff was using radio transmissions, but they couldn't really figure out how it was done. And they wanted to know if I could intercepted or detected. I said I certainly couldn't guarantee it. Less than 50-50, maybe 25%.
We knew that Popoff had a service, as he called it, happening in San Francisco, and we figured we'd better be there.
Do you support Peter's ministry financially?
Every dime I can, yeah.
What brings you here today?
Well, I'm expecting a miracle, physical healing.
The day of the event, I dressed as a security guard, complete uniform. Badge, shirt, radio, keys, everything.
I'm not a security guard. I just look like one, part of my cover.
And I was nervous.
I appeared in disguise as Adam Gerson. And if you put those words together and mix them up, they spell James Randi.
So I went down a corridor, and that's where I set up my equipment. She was sort of concealed as in bags. So I have my scanner going. And is looking for new frequencies, anything new that's not there normally.
Get ready. Get ready. Praise God.
Suddenly, on the scanner, one of the lights came on, saying there's a signal and the scanner has stopped at that frequency. And I hear what I realize are now footsteps. High heel footsteps on a hard surface.
How many of you believe it's all right to praise the Lord?
And then I hear someone coming closer and closer to the microphone, and the woman's voice said, hello, Petey.
Hello, Petey. Can you hear me? If you can't, you're in trouble.
Yes. They were using a radio frequency. I found it.
In the name of Jesus.
Jody Dean.
Is it Jody?
Jody?
Dean?
Jody Dean?
She, no, she should be right there on your right.
Here it comes.
Okay, she lives at 4267 Masterson.
4267 Masterson. I can see the angels of God all around your house. Rosa?
Kamir.
Is it Kamir? You've been taking a lot of medication?
She's there with her son, Kipper. He has a lump in his chest.
Wait just a minute. Who's Kipper? He's got a lump in his chest. You want God to melt it right now? Kipper, stand up. God's going to burn that thing out right now.
They filled out prayer request forms saying, I have cancer, or I have this problem or that problem. So she's giving that information directly to Popoff, and then he's reciting that information as if he's getting it from God.
Martha Sikorsky.
Is it Martha? Is it Sikorsky?
Weldon Crab.
Is it Weldon?
Crab.
Crab?
Peggy White.
Peggy White?
1305 Solano.
1305 Solano?
Turn over to the left.
Hallelujah.
There you go.
So
she's had a hysterectomy. She can't take hormones. She's got kidney and
eye problems. You want God to touch your kidneys? Now let that ear open. In the name of the Lord. Right now, Jesus. The power of the Holy Ghost. Here it comes in. She devil, back off. Is the bondage is broken? In the name of Jesus. You foul spirit!
That's what I'm getting out of here now. So I packed everything up. I turned the equipment off, took my bags, and I walked down the stairs outside into the cool air. My heart's pounding now because I've got the goods.
Not only do we have the evidence we needed, we had more than what we needed. We had it. So I went on the Johnny Carson show, and when the revelation came and you heard Mrs. Popoff's voice, Johnny suddenly realized what the gimmick was, and he said, oh, shit.
Turns out that God's frequency, I didn't know he used radio,
yeah,
is 39.170 megahertz, and God is a woman, obviously, and sounds exactly like Popoff's wife, Elizabeth.
Has he seen this tape, though?
No, he does not know about this until this very moment.
I can't imagine what it would be like to maintain a life where your living and your well-being of you and your family depends upon you lying every single day. I think that they believe that there is some way in which what they are doing is good, and that there is some moral compass that they've invented that allows them to do this.
A double portion of God's power!
Well, we did it. We had exposed this man on probably the most popular television show of the day. And he announced bankruptcy shortly after that.
Oh, glory to God!
Okay, we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
James Randi, Fighting the Fakers. A sign reads TAM, Las Vegas, 2011. Randi's image on book covers, posters, and in cartoon form.
Oh, okay. I'll see what I can do. All right, here we go. I'll do a Jackie Gleason here. Yeah, I don't know. I'll do a plie at the bar, okay? Oh, no. I don't bend that way anymore.
Has been said many times, when you're in love, you want to tell the world.
Maybe it'll work, I don't know.
And James Randi is in love with the truth.
Addressing audiences in Las Vegas and Los Angeles.
The so-called psychics and the other charlatans are making money at our expense, and we have to bear some of the blame for it. So let's get to work and do something about it. I'll take 2 8 right hands.
That man that puts the fear of God into all those psychics, the Amazing Randi!
James Randi isn't just about being skeptical of the paranormal. He is about promoting a scientific worldview.
Science has created and shaped much of the world in which we live, but constant vigilance can never be relaxed. You want people to be educated. You want to go out and shake these people and say, listen to me, listen to me. The $1 million challenge is real, ladies and gentlemen. Why is there not a lineup outside this organization right now on the street? Why isn't Uri Geller here? Really, pull. Come on, make it tight. Okay, I need this chair. Sir, would you take the chair and pull it?
A book signing in Milan, Italy.
First one.
First edition, yes. There we go.
The amount that he travels and the amount of people that he engages with.
All right. You got it?
He has genuinely changed thousands and thousands of people's lives by opening their eyes.
Randy lets out a heavy sigh.
I've got to bring my camera down here and get some shots of it, too. Just to make Jose crazy.
Is he on your mind?
Always. Every minute. Every minute, because he's not here.
Hollywood Art and Culture Center, Hollywood, Florida. Jose is sketching out a huge mural on a wall.
Sometimes I think, what an odd couple we make. He's very rational and very much driven, but the skeptic thinking and all that. And sometimes I feel I'm a little bit or a lot of the opposite. And somehow we have managed to build a life together. And I like it. I like the fact that we are completely opposites.
Jose climbs off a stepladder and looks up at his work, then sets the ladder to one side to study the wall from further back.
Randy's always been supportive of my career and my persona all the way through, from the moment we met up to now. Just an amazing, no pun intended, life being with him. I cannot imagine my life without him.
Nighttime. Jose's on the phone in the kitchen.
Okay, so just let me know as soon as you leave the airport. Okay, bye. So they're waiting for luggage.
He stirs a pan on the hob.
So, yeah, people find funny that I call him amazing. But I like to call him amazing.
Jose goes to the front door, then heads outside to greet Randy with a hug.
Hello,
I'm a bit tired, you know that? Oh, so good to be back. So good to have you back, amazing. Good to be here after all that travel.
Back, amazing.
Now I got to show you something.
Yes.
As you can see, I got you came.
Yes. Oh.
Yes, and you got to get the full effect of it now. Are you ready?
Okay, let me see.
Pretty awesome, amazing. No, this is given to me by Chica and Massimo.
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
Oh, I remember this place. Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Looking at a photo.
We are cute, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
It's a good picture.
I love that.
It's cute.
Yeah,
it's a good picture. Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that left his home at 17 to join a circus and go through all the crazy stories that he have lived.
Ooh, inside of this one is Icky.
Are they gonna take it out?
No, no, there's lots that can be saved here.
No.
Yes.
I'll take it out later then.
Yeah, you probably will.
It's quite an amazing ride, and I just feel very privileged to have been part of it.
Geller rises, the Battle of the Bend, bending a spoon on a TV show.
Yeah. Let me once more. Let me hold it here gently.
Yeah. As I'm not even touching it, and it's...
Look, it's you see, it's plastic.
When Geller was on The Tonight Show and Randy had helped Johnny set it up such that he would not be able to perform his tricks, it sure looked like that was the end of Geller's career. Over, done, three strikes and you're out, gone. No, 2 days later he's on The Merv Griffin Show.
And all I'm saying is bend. 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 Okay, look, can you see it? It's bent, you know.
That is
now,
a
what
very
happens,
key.
It's an energy that leaves my mind, nothing to do with my finger, penetrates the metal and alters the molecular structure. Now, instead of bend, I say to the broken watches, work.
One, two, three,
work!
Work! Just a second. It's working!
Oh my goodness,
see?
It's working.
I'm sorry, it doesn't...
Your mother's watch is working. Is that like a miracle?
They all started. They're working. I am not a crook watch.
First of all, I was born with this. When I was 4 years old, I was eating soup. And that's 4 years old. And suddenly the spoon started bending in my hands.
Now, Geller probably became the first superstar psychic to be apparently accepted by science and by scientists.
Or he has subjected himself or has been subjected to some scientific study, what they call cheat proof under rigid controlled conditions.
I want to tell you this, what? That this is not a trick. These are scientists who are putting their whole life at stake in invalidating these powers.
Randy was very upset by Geller's using trickery to deceive scientists. He thought that was very immoral, and he felt that this was a prostitution of his beloved magic.
Randy, you've been going around the country, somewhat as Houdini used to in the past, trying to debunk those who say that it's psychic power. You say it's magic. This is my house key. Mm-hmm. Uri Geller took it, he went like this with it, with his finger, that's all, no pressure, and the key bent. You can see that, and I've carried it around because I found that I'm a believer now. Here is my identical key. Touch it and make it bend.
Mm-hmm. Would you hold the end of it very lightly in between your fingers, Barbara? And I'm just going to stroke it. Now, I'm not putting enough pressure on to bend it.
No.
Okay. Will you show it to the camera, please? Now, is it bent as much as this key or not? Are you going to keep this key too, Barbara?
In one way, I almost followed Geller around the country because he appeared on some major show. I simply went on the show and did his same routine.
See? Now, when Mr. Geller does this, he says, bend. I don't say that. I say broccoli because it's a simple conjuring trick that used to be in the back of cornflake boxes when I was a kid.
Ooh!
Heavens to Betsy, look at that. Would you say that key is bent?
I decided to write a book about him. I wrote a book, The Truth About Uri Geller, that hit the market when the interest in Geller was at its peak.
Randy and Geller demonstrating their spoon-bending abilities on various TV shows, eliciting gasps and wide-eyed awe from those around them.
Randy and Geller just went back and forth like gladiators. It was fun to watch.
Can you do this spoon-bending trick?
Does Dolly Parton sleep on her back?
And there's no heat at all. They wrote that I have laser beams in my buckle belt, and with that I bend keys. Yes!
Look at this. You can actually see it bending over and turning liquid right in front of your eyes. And these things used to be on the back of cornflake boxes, Larry, but apparently some scientists either don't eat cornflakes or they don't read the back of the box.
This is my trademark, and you will not find it on any cereal box.
How did you do that?
Very well, I thought. It's sleight of hand. To explain the tricks to you would give you one solution, but it wouldn't give you all of the solutions.
In many cases, if not most cases, I simply went on the show and did his same routine. But then I would get the MC sometimes saying, oh, yes, well, it's all very well for magicians to do this, but Mr. Geller doesn't use magic tricks.
But what about people who do come up with the cards?
Do you hear about the times they don't come up with them? Do you know that Uri Geller did 100 tests with Sam Alvin?
Why do you say that?
And what is the difference between what I did and what Uri Geller did?
Is because, well, I guess I really don't have a real answer.
Because magicians can duplicate some of these things with trickery does not mean that genuine psychics do it with trickery. Anyone can imitate the Mona Lisa, but that does not make them Leonardo da Vinci. You people remember that.
Not that I'm now.
Magicians say, no, nonsense. I dupe the scientists. They say I fool them. They always find loopholes. I challenge them and tell them, look, why don't you go and do it in a laboratory the way I was tested?
Project Alpha, I don't believe they're tricking us.
My opinion has always been that parapsychologists, no matter how well-funded, would not be able to properly judge where someone has set out to purposely deceive them. And I had come to the conclusion that the only way to show them would be to perpetrate an outright hoax by introducing some tricksters into the laboratory that I knew I could trust.
I read Randy's book, The Truth About Uri Geller, and from that book I was able to put methods together for bending objects myself, and I created many of my own methods to the point to where kids in high school were stealing silverware and bringing it to me to bend. And I got so good at it that I'm not sure why, but I wrote Randy a letter and I said, look, if you ever need a kid to try to fool scientists, I'd be happy to do so.
After I read The Magic of Uri Geller and got to be pretty proficient as a psychic metal bender myself, I took it upon myself to reach out to James Randi.
Michael, you must be afraid.
And causing that to twist 180 degrees, just like that.
Very shortly after, a very substantial amount of money had been offered to a university to do parapsychological tests.
MacLab was funded by James McDonnell, and he said, go out and find me some star subjects. And then that job fell to a scientist called Peter Phillips.
We were told that there were 300 applicants, and the MacLab ended up focusing on only two subjects, myself and Steve Shaw.
At that point, Project Alpha was ready to take off.
A passenger jet.
I fly into St. Louis, and we didn't know what we were getting into. We didn't know if they were going to have one-way mirrors with cameras hidden behind them. We had absolutely no clue what it was we were getting into.
I was 17 years old. It was my first semester as a senior in high school. I'm about to pull some basic magic on some people that should be very well skilled and could very likely see through this quickly. I might have just stepped in a little bit over my head at that time.
I'm Peter Phillips, and here with me is Mark Schaefer. The tape that you're about to see consists of a series of episodes suggestive of psychokinesis. The subjects in these experiments are two men of about 21, ME and SS. They presented themselves to us originally as psychic metal benders.
I wrote to Professor Phillips in order to advise him on how he should observe the alpha kids. As a matter of fact, I sent him a list of 11 rules in order to keep control of an experiment.
Don't allow the subjects to alter the rules established for the tests. Don't accept excuses like the vibrations are right or I don't feel right. And above all,
you need a professional magician to keep you straightened out on what might be trickery.
It was very quickly, though, that Steve and I tried to almost line by line get them to violate every one of those caveats in one way, shape, or form.
Mike, sitting to your right and dressed in white, has just picked up a spoon that he will attempt to influence.
One of Randy's caveats was mark every item with an indelible mark or a scratch that couldn't be replicated, something that was permanent and it was something that we couldn't duplicate on the spot. The parapsychologists, in their infinite wisdom, decided that they would simply use paper tags with string.
Can we get this tag off here?
Sure. Slide it on.
We took these paper hanging tags off of the spoons to make them easier to work with. As everybody was focusing on one spoon, it was a simple matter to lean on the control spoon and later switch those two tags so the control spoon looked like the experimental spoon.
Yeah, it's markedly different. Of course it is. It just went down and set up.
It didn't feel like it.
Didn't anything at all, but there it is.
Yeah,
that's
what I heard.
We truly believed that if scientists went in with a pro-biased opinion and the majority of the parapsychologists were doing just that, they would not use proper science.
And if we could replicate what Geller and SRI had done in essence in terms of established scientific protocol on testing a psychic, we could undermine Geller's claims of being deemed legitimate by scientists.
We have been working, first of all, to establish the range of abilities that Mike and Steve have, because these have apparently included being able to move small solid objects across a tabletop, influencing a variety of metal objects such as keys and metal bars and metal rods, sometimes touching and sometimes at a distance, and also influencing photographic film.
We were trying to get the parapsychologists to break their own rules. We were then informing Randy of the ways that we were beating the tests. Randy, in turn, was then communicating back to the Mac Lab how to safeguard their tests so that we couldn't beat them any longer. Needless to say, it got very complicated as we were forced to become more and more resourceful.
Another device designed to elicit PK in a visible manner was a lightweight rotor that was mounted atop a thin metal spindle under a glass dome.
One of the tests was a spindle with a small rotor on top that had a glass dome that fit over the top of this to protect it. Our jobs were to try to move that rotor without, obviously, removing the glass dome. I thought that was a pretty good test.
And then it's connected to the base real well.
I really was stumped. Then I look over in the side of the room and Steve was concentrating on the rotor. And the rotor starts to move.
Here you see Steve influencing the rotor. He's causing it to rotate clockwise
And they said, well, to make sure there's no air currents or anything like that, can you make it move to the right? So I start concentrating, and slowly it starts reversing, and it goes to the right.
I had no idea how he was getting this to work.
And if you look carefully, the rotor is moving counterclockwise.
And so Mike turns to me and he says, hey, would you like to go get a drink at the machine? Now, I know what he wants. I know he wants to know how I just did this. So I go with him down there and he says, Steve, he says, how the heck did you just do that? And I said, Mike, after all these hours of sitting in that room and concentrating, I just found out that I'm really a psychic.
I think I promptly threw him up against the wall at that point and wanted to know. And it turned out it was a very simple deception. Shortly after that hallway conversation, both of us could magically make the rotor move any direction that we wanted to, and the Mac Lab personnel never caught on.
I don't believe they're tricking us, especially based on the research that we've done in the last year, where we have exerted as tight a control condition as we could think of, even in consultation with magicians, to see if the influence holds up. And we have found evidence that it does. Not as strongly under these control conditions. It's as if somehow the extra controls seem to inhibit it, but still an effect persists.
Over the course of Alpha, the controls did get significantly tougher. And the tighter the controls got, the lower the results got, but their faith in us never diminished.
We do not claim that this tape provides incontrovertible evidence of PK. We regard it rather as a provisional tape, imperfect, but still with much to offer.
And it was at that point I think Steve and I realized we can't do this anymore. We can't be responsible for this kind of psychological damage by our ability to trick somebody.
And Randy said, it's just a couple more months. We have this TV show coming up, and that's when we want to tell the world that you're not real.
Randy, he's really the general. You know, the general's rarely on the front lines anyway. And sometimes he's sending his minions to do his good works, but always at a distance. He's the one at the strategy table. He's got the vision for what will come.
The big day comes, the one that Mike and I have been waiting for. We're going to reveal that everything is a hoax.
I'm going to ask these two gentlemen a very simple, direct question. Can you tell us how do you do it?
As I walked up to the microphone, I said, it's very simple.
Hold on. Be quite honest. We cheat.
The flashbulb started going off and the murmur started up inside of the audience. And Steve and I actually then at that point admitted that Project Alpha and us as psychics was nothing more than a bit of illusion.
Magician Amazing Randy, you have him now on the phone. Go ahead, you have the last word.
But I was wondering what he thought about the claims that this was sort of an unethical way of carrying out this experiment and whether or not it's going to affect the scientific community and the parapsychologists negatively.
I'm happy to say that the president of the Parapsychological Association described it as a magnificent experiment that needed to be done and from which the results of may benefit everybody. And I think that's what we headed out to do.
We also should point out that the director of that program thought it was a very lousy thing to do. Oh, no. It was quoted as saying that you probably set back the study of it and that it really...
If Phillips said that, then my answer to my having set back the study of parapsychology is no. They tried to set it back. I brought it into the 20th century.
I felt really bad. They truly believed in these things. And I thought that if they had realized they had been fooled by somebody, that they'd be more cautious in the future. But I felt bad that I had fooled them.
The Geller Effect.
So you dropped out kind of like in the mid-70s, and that just resurfaced lately. What have you been doing?
At that time, I wanted to become rich. And I met a very important man who was the chairman of the largest mining company in England. And he showed me how to use my talents, my abilities to look for oil, gold, and mineral. And I am very successful at it.
You proved
it.
I
am, exactly. But I'm still controversial. There are a lot of people who think that I'm a fake and a magician. But all those people I love because they do free publicity for me. Let's try to do the drawing.
Okay, now
Do you know how many times the skeptics try to shoot me down? Do you know how many times Randy tried to ruin my career? But they failed miserably. Pick up the National Enquirer or any other paper and you'll find a billion psychics. Look at the movies that Hollywood produces about UFOs and
the psychic powers and paranormal activity. Are you kidding me? It's much bigger than ever.
You are negative. You are setting up your own standards. And what you're not understanding is that the key to realizing any kind of psychic phenomena is first believing in it, not the other way around. Once you believe, it will happen. It will happen.
Okay.
Even you, sir, the not-so-amazing Randy, are psychic. Whether or not you want to
believe. Millions and millions of people upon this planet who have other ways of intuiting
and sensing. I have never said these things have not happened.
Why don't you read the papers and correct yourself?
People think they believe what they choose to believe. We don't. We mostly believe what we need to believe.
You say Uri Geller's a fake. You came here and you've given everybody a lot of lip service. And you haven't done anything.
We're going for a commercial break and you can piss off.
We'll be back with Diana Trapp.
The public really doesn't listen when they are being told straightforward facts. They would rather accept what some charismatic character tells them than really think about what the truth might be.
I tell you, from now on, you're going to have a song of victory in your heart.
They'd rather have the romance than the lies.
There are a billion believers out there. A billion people believe in God. You can't touch that.
There she goes!
This is what Randy is trying to do. He's trying to say, this is a big hoax, and so everything else is a hoax too. He's trying to say that nothing divine is being spoken. But actually, our ratings are up.
And the thing is, Popoff got back into business. All he changed was he doesn't use a radio anymore. He doesn't need to. He just does dumber stuff that people accept anyway.
This is water from the pool that the Lord himself led the Christians to during the horrible Chernobyl nuclear accident. Tens of thousands died, and yet every Christian was miraculously spared.
Randy and I once talked about it, and I said, you know, maybe we're in the wrong end of the business. We should be on that side. I mean, he's making like $1 million a month or more, and I'm not making $1 million a month. And with Randy and I got together, we could come up with some really nifty tricks that would fool people. Con people.
Alec Jason. Sunday, August the 7th, Randy's house.
Okay, one, two, three.
Happy birthday, dear Randy.
Randy prepares to blow out the candles on two cakes.
In the early days, I think Randy sort of hid his true relationship with Jose. But I don't think Randy hid it for any bad reason. I think it was just a thing that people would use against him. And I think it took Randy a long time to understand in this day and age, you don't have to hide those things anymore.
Let me tell you my story about our birthday boy named Randy, who met a guy and thought he was just Andy. Well, the first thing you know, they form a great team. And both are living the American dream.
I remember when Randy came out. It was in 2010, at the age of 81.
I said, are you sure, are you sure?
But it was just a gesture of complete honesty out there. And morally, having built a life around the fact of telling truth, he needed to come out publicly.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming to Randy's birthday and for being our friends, for being supportive of both of us. And that's it. That's all I got to say.
All righty.
Okay.
Before it was all about becoming invisible. Yeah. That should be exactly the opposite.
Friday, September the 9th.
I was here in the house and I looked at the window and I saw a uniformed officer outside. They were all over the place. U.S. Marshals and FBI personnel as well, circling around, trying to prevent anyone from escaping. I was terrified. I had no idea why they were there. I heard a rapid knocking at the door. I went to the door and they pushed their way in and said, where is Jose Alvarez? and they put handcuffs on him and marched him out the door. I just saw him put in the car and driven out the driveway.
Jose is arrested for identity theft and passport fraud. He is accused of living under a false identity for the past 25 years. The Jose deception. I did what I had to do. Randy, walking stick in hand, standing by a swimming pool.
What a situation. What a situation. It's so very disturbing. When the police showed up and arrested my partner and took him away in handcuffs, I was desperate. I just was standing at the edge of the dock and there were no ships around and I was about to fall into the water. I didn't know what to do. No matter what his name is, I know who he is and I know what he is as well. He's my partner. He's very, very important to me.
Randy steps inside the house. After 6 weeks in jail, Jose is released on bond pending his sentencing.
For the last 25 years, everybody have known me as Jose Alvarez. But in reality, my real name is David Orangel Pena Arteaga. I was born in Venezuela. I was raised in Caracas. And in Venezuela, to be gay is the most despicable thing that you can be. You knew that everybody that was your friend or your loved one or whatever, they would turn against you. That's for sure. I just knew that I should hide it. When I was 16 years old, I was at a party. Three guys came and grabbed me from behind, and one of them put the gun to my head and started just yelling all kinds of things, the little faggot, and so on and so on. I said, I have to get out of here or I will be killed. And I came here to study art, and I started seeing, like, wow, I don't have to be like, you know, who is looking at me, like, I have to hide. But still, it stays in your brain that in order to survive, I needed to pretend. But I just didn't have any way to stay in this country. And then I met Randy. So I actually found someone who got a name for me. And they told me that this person was deceased and that this name didn't belong to anyone. So I wrestled with that situation for quite a while, whether to go ahead with this. But I just didn't have any choice. So I decided to do it, to take the name. But I wasn't really that aware of what I was doing. You know, the thing snowballed.
One of these three men pretended to be possessed. Number two, what is your name, please?
My name is Jose Alvarez.
Only one of these people is the real Jose Alvarez and is the only one sworn to tell the truth.
Trying to escape such a terrible situation, I kind of got jailed in a different one. With the Jose Alvarez identity, I applied for a passport under that name, and then I went to Australia to play the Carlos Hawks.
And I just set off to train him to be a so-called channeler.
I have lived through many reincarnations. My last one was in Venezuela.
Also, keep very wide. Yeah. Keep very wide, because you're going to be on a big stage.
He learned fast, and we were using the Peter Popoff method.
I've heard you described as a fraud and a charlatan.
That's a very rude comment.
Well, that is a very rude comment.
He did a wonderful job, but after all, that's the kind of thing he does well.
I'm using this body, Jose Alvarez. He's an artist in the United States. The whole thing was totally against my persona. I knew that I was playing this fictitious character. I just felt like a phony. You know, but I have to go on with it.
Dressed all in white as Carlos, Davy tells someone, I don't want to do this.
No, no, yo no quiero hacer esto.
It turned out that there was a real person named Jose Alvarez. And he decided to apply for a passport after 25 years of me living with this identity.
The moment of truth is about to arrive. Will the real Jose Alvarez please stand up?
Davy gets to his feet, and one of the four panelists clenches his hands together in triumph.
The problem is, once you start to tell people that you're genuine, it's really hard to step away from that because you've lied to people. You've lied to their face. It was extremely difficult when I was fooling the scientists. You know, at first I saw them as the enemy. It was me against the enemy. But over time, they become your friends.
Were we violating laws? Probably. Was it fraud in some cases? Most definitely. Did we look at it that way at the time? I don't think any of us did, because we thought the ends justified the means.
Deception has so many layers. I mean, you have the zenith of deception, and people go to jail for that. But then you have magicians. They manipulate the truth. They are in the business of deceiving people.
Alpha and Carlos and Popov, these incredible revelations of deception, they're actually sort of giant cons in their own sense, right? But they're cons on the right side. This is what it means to be an honest liar. It's the difference between using deception to conceal the truth and using deception to reveal the truth.
Up until now, you haven't really said anything about Jose being Davy. Here's where I'd like to start.
Okay.
I think it would be good if you said something like, I feel I should...
That admits guilt.
Okay.
I should make something clear. That's much better.
Are you afraid of the ramifications?
I have all kinds of fear of that, yes.
Fear of what? I'm not clear.
If I don't have to say, yes, I knew that he had a false identity and he perpetrated it on the American nation, I don't want to say that. Look at what he was going through. He was going through hell. If he went back to Venezuela, he would be constantly victimized and abused and attacked. No, I couldn't see that. I had to accept what I saw happening. Now, none of this must be used. I mean, really, if I thought that any of this would be used, I would abandon the film entirely.
No.
But I'm being honest with you. Now, I'm being taped at the same time, and I have to trust you.
Okay, well...
And
this...
I will, and I do.
But we had discussed this.
I'm willing to say the story that I gave you on this camera.
That's fine, okay. I'm not asking you to do anything else.
But I want the rest of it to vanish, please.
This last part. Yes, understood. Understood. No worries.
I trust you, or I wouldn't be doing this.
Thank you.
Randy climbs the stairs at home.
We all spin personal narratives. And so when an event happens that doesn't fit this idea that he's this amazing truth teller and so on, then something has to happen to that event. And like everyone, he may well change a few facts around or rub it out completely.
In entertainment, there is a kind of acceptability to deceive. It's like when there are two Picasso paintings on the wall. One is a fake, and the other one is real. But they look the same. There's no harm in that. At the end of the day, there's nothing to reveal. Because of what I do is real. What you do is real.
Clapperboards being held in front of some of the film's contributors, Michael Edwards, Steve Shaw, Uri Geller, and James Randi. Now, Randi's riding in a car.
I think I slept last night. some part of it anyway.
9 months after his arrest, Davy Peño's sentencing hearing is held.
Today, officially, we'll find out what the judge has to say. It's got to be the right thing.
Randy pinches the bridge of his nose.
I don't know what I'm going to do or what Jose is going to do. He's specifically an immigration judge, and he apparently likes to suggest removal. That would be the end of him.
Randy rubs his forehead and eyes, then stares into the mid-distance, tapping his lips with the side of his forefinger.
The end of him, and the end of us, automatically. His life literally hangs in the balance. And I feel somehow that I've got to come out with some rabbit out of the hat to try to get him back here where he belongs, not behind bars.
Slightly stooped and looking frailer, Randy stands at the side of a road. A large modern building. No cameras are allowed in the courtroom. Davy pleads guilty to the charges. For 3 hours, friends and supporters testify on his behalf. After the hearing,
I was just in a state of total suspension, you know, just waiting for him to say what the sentence was.
It was something I had hoped for, that we'd all hoped for. We won this one.
Davy is given time served, 6 months house arrest and 150 hours community service. However, because of his actions, he is not presently eligible for U.S. citizenship.
People were really beautiful, talking.
He fights back tears.
I'm not really sure how I feel, but I'm feeling very thankful. That's how I feel, very thankful.
I'm not one person. I've got a partner. For the last quarter of a century, I've had this partner. We're one element, and I have never hesitated to reach out to help him in every possible way.
I know Randy. He has a mission out there in the world as the amazing Randy. But it's compassion. People don't know how much he cares when he sees someone in distress.
And it's not just on a social level, but also on a personal level. And I include myself specifically in that equation, that he will do what is necessary to save somebody.
Posing together in front of the completed mural.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, no, a little bit further over here.
Here.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. What do you think? No? Yeah?
Randy said years ago, there's nothing that a man can't make that I can't get out of. That line is actually a Houdini line. And the difference was is that Houdini, you know, if somebody ever did bring something, like a pair of handcuffs that no way he could get out, Houdini's guys, his goons, would take the guy out back and beat the crap out of the guy, and the audience never saw the guy again. But I bet you anything, Randy truly believed there was nothing he couldn't get out of. Or make it at least seem like he was getting out of them.
And I'll quote him directly. I'm a magician. I know how to deceive people, and I know how to recognize when people are being deceived. I can cheat you countless different ways, and you won't know. You won't catch me.
Some people cannot believe that a magician can fool them in such a way that they can't figure it out. But magicians can, and magicians do. don't be too sure of yourself. No matter how smart or well-educated you are, you can be deceived.
Alec Jason now works as a crime reconstruction expert. Steve Shaw is now a mentalist and magician performing under the name Banachek.
Okay, that's weird. This is all that I'm getting. I have no clue what this is.
Michael Edwards is still pulling tricks as a company executive in Phoenix. Uri Geller no longer says he is a psychic. He now calls himself a mystifier.
My jewelry are a catalyst to the powers of your mind.
Yes.
It's all in the mind.
And sells crystal jewelry on QVC.
Here I go, really.
The real Jose Alvarez missed his sister's wedding in Jamaica because he couldn't get a passport. 2 weeks after same-sex marriage was legalized federally, Randy and Davey traveled to Washington, D.C. and got married. Randy gave the filmmakers permission to use all of his interviews that appear in this film.